time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
This station presents Real American Heroes.
Real American Heroes.
Today, we salute you, Mr. Backyard Barbecuer.
Mr. Backyard Barbecuer.
You've never once helped a little lady in the kitchen. You've never assisted her with the grocery shopping. But for some reason, when it comes to grilling slabs of flesh over an open fire, it's suddenly a man's job.
You love to handle your
You know precisely how long it takes to cook every variety of meat. A steak, one beer. Brisket, three. An entire suckling pig, can you say keg?
You're both getting marinated.
When the meat is fully cooked, you're half-baked.
Try not to pass out in the fire, yeah.
So the next time you're wiping barbecue sauce off every one of your appendages, be sure to thank the guy in the Kiss the Cook apron, passed out in the chaise lounge, Mr. Backyard Barbecuer, a real American hero.
Mr. Backyard Barbecuer.
Don't look now, I think the deck is on fire.
Get ready for the best morning show on any kind of radio. Broadcasting live from the palatial studios of LA Talk Radio, get ready for Sam and Kara in the morning. Give Sam and Kara a call at 323-203-0815. And now, here are your hosts, Sam and Kara.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, July 12th. The new edition of Sam and Kara in the Morning starting at 10, which means we're not as tired.
Brand new, fresh off the skillet, Sam and Kara, hot, sizzling, we're sizzling, spicy.
Yes, well, you think it's going to be hot today?
It's supposed to be hot this whole week, man, and I got cayenne in my coffee.
Cayenne in your coffee?
Yeah,
why is that?
The coffee bean, they've got this signature hot chocolate where they take, you know, chocolate powder and then they put some cayenne and it gives it a killer kick.
Really?
And I like it, so I put it in my coffee.
Does it taste spicy?
You want a sip?
No.
Okay, well, let's hear it when you want it.
Is it spicy hot?
Spicy hot, just the way I like it. It's all save you like the last little bit, which is backwashed and everything. Nasty! But anyway, yeah, you can taste it if you dare.
Yeah.
To taste the hot and the heat in my coffee.
Yeah. So what's with the black hair, the black flower on your hair?
I just think it's sweet.
Yeah, it is. It does look pretty cool, although
really
it's different. Yeah,
I've got this headband with a big fat flower on it. Yeah, it's only 10 a.m.,
but
you know what? It's never too late.
What does that have to do with anything?
Nothing. I'm just telling people. I bring the heat. I bring it. I'll bring it on. Bring it on. Bring in my flower. I think it's cute.
It is cute.
I get some compliments on this thing.
Really?
Uh huh.
It's a little unusual, but yeah.
No, it's not.
No.
No.
It's more appropriate for a 15-year-old girl.
What?
Yeah.
No, it's really in style right now,
is
Sam.
It?
You just don't even know.
So how come I don't notice it anywhere?
Because you only come to the radio and you go home. You don't go out on the town. You don't know what's up.
You don't know about that. We actually went out a little bit yesterday.
Where'd y'all go?
We went to Hollywood.
Oh, okay. You went to Hollywood. Yeah. You should give me a call because that's my hood.
That's true, yeah. So we walked around with all the tourists and everything. And
that crazy
like
tourist trap over there?
Yeah.
They got rid of all the street performers.
Different. Really?
Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Actually,
they had some.
They were illegal then.
Really?
Yeah, the street performers, they actually started giving them 15 citations, and then they started threatening to arrest them, and they got rid of all of them.
Really? Why is that?
Are they
bothering the people?
They think there's just too many, they're cluttering, whatever, but the thing is that's how they made their money, and a lot of people went to go see, you know, your Michael Jackson, your Marilyn Monroe's, you know, your Spider-Man.
That's too bad. It was kind of a part of it, huh?
It's fun. I don't know
part
why they
experience.
Got rid of it, but I guess it's because it was just clogging up the whole clogging. Is that a word? I think it's a dance. Clogging.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, yeah, they got rid of them, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's a bummer.
So, yeah, I mean, we saw one street like dance band or something, but that was about it, you know.
Yeah, I bet they probably had like a 15-minute window before the cops came.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, they probably were running.
So we went to Hooters and had some great chicken wings. Have you ever had?
I've never been to Hooters.
You've never been to Hooters?
Mm-hmm.
if you like nice, greasy, tasty food, that's the place to go.
Well, who doesn't like it? It's a greasy spoon type place. But it's
there you go.
It's is the food really, really that good, or is it the fact that there's a bunch
really
of boobs
good.
Around the food that make
no,
it good?
No, the chicks, I don't even notice them. You
oh,
know?
Really? Okay.
Yeah, they're not anything special.
Really?
At all, no. But the food's good. My wife and I like to have the chicken wings there with beer and stuff. So.
Oh, it's good?
Yeah, whatever town we were at and we run into Hooters, that's what we do.
And she doesn't care, huh? She's like, ah, I don't care.
No, who cares? It's like a family place, you know? I mean, they've got a lot
yeah.
of families there and stuff. So, I mean, the whole thing with the boobs is kind of like yesterday, you know?
Yeah, you're right. It's kind of dated.
Yeah.
Not a big deal.
No, not a big deal at all.
A friend of mine, he goes to...
Especially when they don't have big Hooters either. You know, most of the girls are flat-chested.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that like false advertising? Like, I want my money back?
Something like that.
For the boobs I didn't pay for?
But at least a couple of them had like an A or B cup at the most.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember I was really broke one time and I was like, man, I need a job. I should go to Hooters.
Yeah.
And, like, hire me. But they actually, I looked into it for a second and they have like a... You have to, like, work your way to the top to be a Hooters girl.
Oh,
I'm like,
really?
I don't have time to make this my career path, people. I can't really...
Work to the top? So what would you start at?
You start out as, like, greeting people as a hostess. And then you have to, like, hopefully you've got to go through this training to become a Hooters girl. And I was like, really?
Yeah. They'd all hate you there with your boobs.
Oh, would they?
Yeah, all the other girls.
I thought it was, like, L.A. Everybody's rocking these hard rock tits on a stick look, no?
Yeah.
No,
it is tits. Well, it's a... It is on a stick. I don't know about big tits on a stick.
On a
but
stick.
They are pretty sticky, yes. Yeah.
That's funny. Stick a lick. But no, I was like, yeah, I just can't make this my, you know, my 3-year plan in life. I just needed a quick buck, but crossed it off the list.
Yeah.
I went to high school with a girl whose last name was Hooter.
Oh, really?
And I think she ended up getting a job at Hooters.
Really?
I think she did. My high school reunion is coming up in September.
Really?
And
in Texas.
In Texas. And I, you know, here's the thing. You've got Facebook now. You can be voyeuristic and look at everybody's life. And whatever they present, you can investigate and look. And I have a couple creepy friends that know way too much about people, too. I have a couple close friends of mine who I'll just go home and ask them questions, and they'll be like, yeah, I totally saw this, and this on their Facebook. And we laugh about it because it's just, we don't even know why we're talking about it. But it's funny. It's a temptation.
Yeah.
But they just put out an email saying they're looking for ideas for the reunion. It's in September. And I thought, you know what? Not to sound pretentious, but I do, you know, I do comedy and entertainment professionally. And I thought, well, you know what I could do is create a really fun show, some stand up, and then maybe do a roast mm-hmm. on our high school class and kind of talk about who was the most likely to succeed and have people cast their votes and see mm-hmm. based on who we said that year, you know,
yeah.
and now who really succeeded and who are the rich nerds and who has the most kids, who moved the furthest away, and do like a really fun roast. And
that would be fun.
I think it'd be really fun. Nothing too mean below the belt, but I think it'd be fun to kind of... Because it's the funny thing about that time in life is that these are the people that you're surrounded with if you lived in the same high school for 4 years. And they kind of... They're kind of shaping the way you see the future as, well, these are going to be the people that are successful. And, da, 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 da. And then you get in the real world and you realize that they have no power.
Yeah.
This whole world that you've been forced to kind of live in and think this is how it is all going to go down. They don't really, not all of them really make it, or they don't really have power.
Right.
And people that really grow into their looks mm-hmm. and, you know, people that they weren't really that good looking in high school, or they were kind of like very plain.
Right.
And then they, you know, they kind of hit puberty really later in life and bam, and they learn how to do their hair and makeup. And there's a couple of those girls. I'm like, damn, these girls are hot.
Yeah. So, I mean, have you decided you're going to go?
Well, I sent them an email saying, look, this is what I can do for you guys. Mm-hmm. And let me know if you want to do it. So they're kind of going back and forth with it. But, you know, it's a small town outside mm-hmm. of Houston. And I don't really know. I don't want to have to sell them on it. I think they should be like, yeah, we'll do it. But if they're not really catching on to that this is going to be fun and exciting, then I can't waste my time on it.
Really? So you don't, I mean, you're not looking forward to seeing people that you went to high
absolutely,
school with?
But do I really want to invest time and money to see people when I have Facebook? And they've actually done studies that have shown that the class reunions have dropped as far as the amount of people that attended because of social media.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, it's not as like, wow, I wonder what they're doing. You kind of can go online and see what they're doing now.
Yeah, you see,
it's
I
still...
love reunions, man. I mean,
do you?
If I had one, I'd fly all the way to Israel to go to one.
Really?
They
don't do them there?
Maybe they do, but they don't tell me about them. Besides, it's been so long, you know.
How many would have been? 20-year, 30-year?
That would be a 32-year deal.
32-year deal. Finance for 32 years. 32-year high school reunion. That's crazy, huh?
Yeah.
It's just kind kind of fun and nostalgic to visit it. I didn't love high school. I didn't particularly hate it, but I felt like it was in the way.
Really?
I was active and involved in a lot of things, but I didn't have a lot of close friends.
Yeah.
And
you see, I did. I
you
grew
did?
Up with
yeah.
a lot of people, and we grew up since we were like 5, 6 years old, you know, and went through school together. So that would have been fun, you know, especially since I can't hardly find any of my childhood friends anymore.
You should have contacted your high school and seen, you know, what they're doing about it.
That's true, huh?
Yeah.
Should have done something about
it. What I would love to do is obviously do a roast, which would be really funny, and actually do something on Facebook that would allow people to go and cast their votes, and it would be right. all based on Facebook, so it'd be funny.
But how could you do a roast if you haven't seen these people in so long?
It's
you
all
don't
based
know
on
anything
Facebook.
About them.
It's all based on Facebook. It'd be like the Facebook Roast Awards, kind of based on. So yeah. It could kind of be like, you know, who became the biggest before and after, the biggest dramatic, you know, people that you wouldn't notice in high school. Look at them now. They're so gorgeous or whatever. That would be right. a fun award. And you know what? They may go up to accept their award and they may have been putting up fake pictures. Who knows?
Yeah, that's true.
But
too.
It might be fun. What would also be fun is to see people who, you know, were really under the radar in high school or were really made fun of and to see if they've kind of done, you know, like another Bill Gates or something.
Yeah.
There may not be those dramatic of stories, but it's fun to. I mean, I think of everything as entertainment. If you're going to get all these people to come into town, and some people, a lot of people are, you know, that leave or flying in, you don't want it to be at some nasty, dumpy pool hall where everybody's like, hey, here's my pictures of my kids. I think you want it to be fun.
Yeah.
And entertaining. So I pitched them something via email, and we'll see if it flies.
Yeah, they definitely need to organize something, you know?
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, I think even if it's just a cocktail party and people mingle, it wouldn't be a bad
idea. That would
be
fun. I just think they could do I always think big. I think it would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, yeah. So we'll see. We'll see. I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, you'd walk in, hey, I'm a big radio star now.
Well, I wouldn't do that. In fact, I wouldn't put myself in any of the categories, and I would totally make fun of myself. I have material for days on myself. All the crappy jobs I've had and stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
I was a sign twirler, people.
Mm-hmm.
You took a sip of water.
Yeah.
I was a freaking sign twirler, and I got a blister on my thumb. I was like, peace, I'm out of here.
I know.
I've done some crazy gigs. Crazy. I mean, believe me, I've had some awesome success, and at the same time, I've definitely, you know, I've been rubbing two nickels together. I mean, I've got some funny stories.
Yeah, that's true.
I had one time when I first moved out here, I had no money, and I was waiting on a check that was, anyway, long story, I was waiting on money that didn't come through.
Mm-hmm.
So I was, like, counting my pennies and my nickels, and there's a deal at McDonald's for, like, 39-cent cheeseburgers, so that's, like, kind of what I ate.
Really?
Was 39-cent cheeseburgers. Like,
wow.
Yeah.
What
I mean, and, you know, everybody's got a story like that, though. You know,
that's true, yeah.
The author that came in that had to put cardboard in his shoes to cover up the holes and, you know, scratch it in black because he couldn't afford shoes. Everybody's got stories like that.
Yeah, I guess. I guess I was privileged because I never
really?
Had
you never had any
like
struggling
that.
Stories?
No, well, not struggling in that way, you know, because
well,
I always
kind?
Had my parents to back me up and stuff when I was young, you know. And, I mean, I did have times when I didn't have any money at all, but I wasn't really, you know, cardboarding anything.
You weren't duct taping your car?
No.
Man, I've been there. Ugh. No.
Yeah.
I know. But it's okay. I think it makes you appreciate life. And
yeah, it does.
It really can make you savor those really mountaintop experiences because you understand what it's like. And not that I've been that destitute. There's always somebody that's had it a lot worse.
Yeah. You see, I also miss it because I was sort of like uprooted from my childhood, you know, when I moved here. So it's sort of like a lot of things have not been closed yet, you know, so I wouldn't mind that at all. But I don't know, with your comedy, they might feel that you'll be getting too much attention for one person there.
Well, if you look at it as I look at it as part of it I would love to do, and then part of it's a job. It would be the idea that you're creating something and you're sharing with people, and you're creating a fun experience for people. It really isn't about me. It's about really servicing the experience and making it really exciting for people. So they can go online, they can start putting their votes in. Everybody gets more excited. It will increase the sales or the amount of people that will attend, however that works.
Mm-hmm.
And it won't be about me, and I'll totally make fun of myself because I've got material for days. So it's not like, oh, big Kara from, you know, friggin' LA. Although there is a prejudice because when I go back home, even just within my family, and I was talking to a dude the other day at a party, and he goes, yeah, he's from Tennessee. He goes, every time I go home, it's like I have too much energy. I talk too loud. I'm too excited.
Really? Is that how people criticize him?
Is well, they don't say it like that, but it's kind of the idea is that he's too into everything. And it's just a different pace. And I come home, it's the same thing. It's like, who do you think you are? I'm like, I don't think I'm anybody. I just love life. Come on.
So a lot of these people still live in that little town?
Where I'm from, I would say 90%, yeah. Not in that particular town, but in the area.
In the area.
Because it's a lot of, you know, small little towns, a conglomerate. So within the area. But I think that there's been people that have definitely moved away, and there's been some cool success stories, and mm-hmm. we just want to find them. And,
yeah.
But then it's not just about the radical stuff. I mean, honestly, and this is gonna, I think this would be hysterical, and I'm going to pitch this. And honestly, I'm telling you, like, this is just you and me right now. Somebody could steal my idea. I want to market this to high school reunion companies because I think this would be great.
Yeah.
I want to take some of these girls that I went to high school with that were really popular in school, really beautiful, and they're all married with kids now, multiple kids. And the reality is, you know, some still look great, some not as great, but it's life. It's not a judgmental thing. I think it would be great to script something together,
mm-hmm.
fly down there the week of the reunion and film these women and call it, like, the Real Housewives of, like, Dickinson.
They do a reality show.
Yeah, but make it funny. Like, I'll have it scripted, and they'll make fun of themselves, too.
Uh-huh.
I mean, not that that's not successful to have kids, but I mean, a play off the show and actually have them amp it up with hair and makeup and do some crazy funny fights and things like that. And then actually have it projected on a screen like a slideshow.
Oh, okay. Well,
and like you knew
like
them from high
idea.
School and then it shows one girl playing volleyball.
Yeah.
They were your class president or ba-da-da-da-da. Look at them now. And it's like, and then they're reenacting a scene from The Real Housewives of, mm-hmm. let's say, New Jersey or something.
Yeah.
But it's Dickinson.
But many times people grow up to be so different from how they were in high school.
Well, that's the funny part.
Yeah.
You have to have a sense of humor about it and go, gosh, this is just a ridiculous time in life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I do. It was fun. I liked high school, you know?
Yeah.
All the social part of it. Mm. Yeah. So how was your weekend? Did you do anything special?
I had a promo gig I worked in. Unfortunately, it didn't work out. I drove all the way down to Irvine, and maybe I got some of the information wrong. I got there, and, like, nobody knew what I was talking about. I was like, are you kidding
me? Really?
I was like, come on. I dropped some names. Da, 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 da. They're looking at me like, we can't let you in here. I said, really? I said, I mean, do I really want to work? No, but I need to work. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, look at
me. That sucks, and you drove all the way down.
Yeah, and he's like, yeah, I can't let you in. I said, well, you know, let me give you my name and number if somebody calls and looking for their staff. Da, da, mm-hmm. da, da, da. I said, I'm not a terrorist. He goes, well, if every terrorist looked like you, we'd be in a good position.
Is that what he said?
He did. He said, if every terrorist looked like you, we'd be in a good position. And I said, well, thank you. Here's my number.
What a compliment.
It was good, though. I mean, I came back home. I worked on some stuff and just had a really good weekend. I reconnected with some friends that I haven't seen in months.
Really?
Isn't that fun?
That's cool.
I used to go to this church in Culver City for 3 years, and I had two girlfriends, and we would, I mean, for years, we would go, like little church ladies, we would go to church, then we'd walk across the street and get our Mexican food on, and we'd have margaritas, and we'd have our, you know, guacamole and hot, you know, queso, and we'd just eat and eat and just talk and talk. It was just a great Sunday. You just leisurely did nothing, then we'd go to a movie.
Yeah.
Just so much fun, and it was close friends. But, you know, since then, we've gone our separate ways in many ways, but we reconnected, this Sunday and had just a really fun time.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do any hiking in the canyons?
I got a couple good runs in. Mm-hmm. I haven't been running hard, so you have to get back up to that caliber.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to do a triathlon, so I'm canvassing and trying to get funding to get my triathlon on. Just throwing it out there.
Well, why do you need the funding for that?
Because it's expensive.
Really?
It can be expensive. I'm trying to do it as cheap as possible, clearly, because I'm not like a pro.
Well, maybe if you don't, just do it on your own. I mean, run and then swim.
No, I mean, honestly, I think I need to be in the LA Tri Club is great because they do all, you have a lot of people that you work out with. I mean, I'm not going to go down to Santa Monica and do an open swim by myself. Are you kidding me?
No.
I'd be freaked out. Would you do it, Sam? Slap your little goggles on, your wetsuit. You're like, bye, guys.
Yeah, why not?
Please. I dare you to.
Why?
A mile. You're going to go out there a mile by yourself and there's no other swimmers?
Yeah.
And yeah, right. I doubt it. I don't even think you would.
find someone with a pool and do it there.
Dude, you can't do a pool, you dork. You can't be doing a little baby kiddie pool. You have to do an open swim in choppy Pacific Ocean water.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize
you
want to
go
that.
Out there by yourself? Hey, guys, I'm just going to go train by myself in this ocean.
I thought you swim in a pool.
No, I mean, some people train in a pool, but that's usually because they're doing some kind of competition that isn't an open swim. But the tries that I would be doing would be open swim predominantly.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Usually they are.
Wow. Why would anybody want to do that?
I think it's a rush, and it's and the thing with these kind of competitions is you're really pushing yourself. I mean, we had, what's his name? Was it Simon on?
Simon Gollum, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he knows
Yeah, he's got
up.
A show on triathlons.
Y'all check him out.
Every Thursday at 11, you should
yeah,
check it out.
Yeah, and I would train for the Olympic one, which is, I think, just under a mile swim. I think it's 12 or 25-mile bike ride. I can't remember. And then it's a 6-mile run. Very doable.
Yeah.
It's more than I'm ready for right now, but I could do it right now.
You think you could do it?
I could do it right now, and I'd be dead, but I could do it.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty good. So you must consider yourself in pretty good shape.
Yeah, I think being in shape is kind of a very multi-layered thing. It's not just what you look like. It's really about your endurance. It's about your lactic acid buildup, all these different components. It's basically what your body can handle in different...
Right.
And this is kind of an endurance competition, which I have a lot of endurance.
Oh. Wow,
you hear that, man?
Cool.
I got a lot of endurance.
She does, man. She'll drive you crazy in bed. She'll wear you out.
Whatever. I make one little halfway sexual innuendo joke, and Sam's like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm all over
Oh,
it.
Yeah. Tell you it. What. Speaking of men, we were at the Coffee Bean yesterday with my friend, and like this crew of motorcycle dudes show up.
Oh.
I guess like 15 of them, and most of them look like they're Hispanic, but there was a few others. Like white dudes or whatever, and they just were. I mean, I had a really cute skirt on, like super ruffly, and just some guys just can't resist the ruffles. They just can't.
It's that association with a little girl or something.
Yeah, they can't. They can't resist the ruffles. Oh my gosh, I had the cutest freaking skirt on. It was so cute. Anyway, so I was wearing that because I went to church that day, and then my friend and I were hanging out.
You went to church that day dressed like that?
It wasn't slutty. It was just a ruffly skirt.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah, I don't wear my slut gear to church.
Yeah.
I got to keep that in the
Well, I didn't know.
Actually, they know about it. They're like, oh, okay, we'll pray for you.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, no, it was just a cute skirt, and these dudes all looked like they'd just been working on, looked like they were just working on trucks. They looked all oiled up and greasy and hanging out.
How
with
sexy, huh?
Well, I mean, kind of. I like the whole man thing, but you know, I like good body odor too.
Yeah.
So, but they kept looking over at me and da 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 da, and it was just that tension of like man versus woman.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just sitting there drinking my coffee and a cute ruffly square ruffles, and then they're sitting there looking. It was really funny. Mm-hmm. And then finally, one of them said something, and then they all kept trying to talk to us.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm very juvenile right now, but I have to be honest, it was very funny. And I kept having to go get water because I was in Coffee Bean. You go in and you have to pour your own water, and I just kept chugging the water. So I kept having to walk back and forth near them, and it just was kind of tormenting them a bit.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a provocative outfit. It was just very feminine. It was very girly.
Right.
And it was very, very funny. Just a funny thing. I said, are you guys like in a gang? Or they're like, don't say gang. We'll get thrown out of here.
Really?
But they were in a motorcycle club, and they kept asking me if I wanted a ride.
Really?
And I was like, no, it's dangerous. I was playing with them. I was like, it's too dangerous.
Yeah.
And they said, well, I'll bring my cruiser. My cruiser's not dangerous.
Have you been on a motorcycle before?
Yes, yeah. Once, when I was actually young.
Yeah.
Yeah, my parents. Yeah.
See, I don't have any. I mean, on the one hand, I'm dying to do it. On the other hand, I'm afraid to die on it. So.
It is. Isn't that how life is? It's one of these. You really want to take. I mean, all physically, emotionally, everything. You want to take these risks and you want to experience these heights, but you don't want to fall.
Yeah.
And I definitely agree with, you know, kind of eliminating the unnecessary risks. But I don't know.
Live on the edge. Is that what you say?
I kind of feel. I mean, I believe living on the edge, but I don't think that like using a motorcycle. Well. You know, I see both sides, is what I'm saying.
Do you find guys on motorcycles to be sexy?
Yes.
You do?
Yes, yes. Mm. Uh-huh. I mean, I wasn't really into these dudes, but yeah, typically. Yeah. I just think I think it can be. What I don't like is when you're sitting there peacefully on a patio having a conversation with a friend, and you hear that. I'm like, leave or stay, but don't sit here and. I want to invent.
Well, that's the point. They want the attention, obviously.
Well, here's what. Get a ruffly skirt.
Yeah.
Get your ruffly skirt.
And that'll get you the attention.
Yeah, it works. So they need to invent headphones that you plug into the side of your motorcycle. that when you you get that throaty noise that they call it, mm-hmm. they can only hear it and feel excited. We don't have to hear it. Like, just pop it in. I'm a big man, but I don't need to hear it.
Yeah, well, that's the point, is to get.
But they're not getting the reaction that they think that they want. Right. Like, they really want people right. to think they're hot and amazing. All it does is make me want to hit them with a high heel.
Mm-hmm.
Makes me want to take off my high heel shoe and pop them in the face.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do some high heel UFC on them. It irritates me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So tell them something. You should say
I did.
Something.
I yell, but they're already gone on their motorcycle. I'm like, shut up. We're drinking coffee. Whatever that means. You're ruining my coffee experience.
Oh, well.
Oh, well. Life goes on.
You're a difficult person to
Am I really? I think I'm pretty laid back.
Yeah?
I'm so low maintenance.
Yeah, but you're complicated.
I mean, I'm a human. I've got layers. I'm not like a. I'm not as dumb as a rock. I mean, I've got emotions, but I'm pretty laid back.
Yeah.
I mean, I fall asleep in my clothes the night before. I wake up if it's still clean. I wear it. Well, only when I'm coming here.
Yeah. So what's going on with the church? I mean, do you still go to church?
You know what? To be honest, I've been off the wagon a bit these last few months. I just haven't been excited about going and. Just didn't really feel connected. I was going to a really cool church downtown LA, and it is an awesome church, but there's just something weird in Los Angeles that comes along with the territory of being creative and individualistic, is that people go to these public things and they're out in the open doing public events, but everybody's insular. They're very singular or with their group.
Right.
And people don't really go there to meet people or in an open environment. So when you know, I can read the Bible on my own, which I read it every day, and you pray on your own, and but then there's the part of really communicating and connecting with other believers,
mm-hmm.
and it's fellowship, it's hanging out, it's loving right. each other, helping each other out, and you need people to do that and to be connected, and I think it's very valuable. However, sometimes, even in the churches in LA, you get, and people are like so afraid to talk to each other, and
oh,
it just
really?
Feels clicky, and it feels kind of like...
Yeah, but don't you go to church to socialize too?
No, that's my point, yeah. But you need to be... People have got to be open to do that, and sometimes you just go and you feel anonymous. You're like, oh, it doesn't even matter that I'm here.
Really?
Yeah. But you got to push through it, because you got to be sometimes the person that pushes through it so that other people will open up.
Right.
But sometimes it gets old. So I went and visited a church yesterday that is a church that I used to go to, but they have mm-hmm. a new location that's closer to me.
Right.
And it was really awesome. I saw a bunch of old friends, and it's a very small church. It was just a really beautiful experience. It's very intimate. There was, you know, not a lot of people there.
Yeah.
It felt very free.
How long do you usually spend there? A couple hours?
Yeah. Well, it's about 10 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do it with worship, which is you sing songs and kind of get outside of yourself, and that's
God,
the process.
It sounds so boring.
Really?
To me. Yeah.
Sounds
so lame.
Listen, I know what you're thinking, because I think the word church just sounds boring and lame. But if you were to come, it'd be anything. You would either love it or hate it.
Yeah.
That's not boring. Boring doesn't make you love it or hate it. You would have a reaction to it.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd just be bored.
No, you wouldn't. You'd be like, what?
Why would I hate it?
No. You'd either go, man, this is really awesome. I like what they're doing. I really got something out of it. Or you would go, oh my gosh, this is over the top. I'm not interested. It's just, who do they think they are? You would come out with a reaction, which is good. Who wants to be lukewarm and in the middle?
You know? Me. You see, you don't realize that there's more than just two extremes, you know? There's something in the middle.
Well, that's not extreme. That's called average and moderate. It's called
I would not hate
living.
Something like that, but I would
Well, I mean that not literally hate it. I mean, you'd have a reaction.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that you wouldn't have a strong reaction to.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh.
And I think that goes to say that it's not boring. It's very alive, actually.
Yeah. No, I'm sure. I'm sure.
So it may not be your cup of tea, but you would definitely have an opinion on it, is what I'm saying. And mm-hmm. boring stuff, you don't have an opinion on. You just kind of go, oh, well, whatever. It's forgettable. This wouldn't be forgettable.
Yeah.
So definitely not boring. And it was really, really cool. I mean, and it's predominantly a black church.
Mm.
Well, now it's not. It's very mixed. But when I started going, I was one.
Which is funny that you would go to a church like that. You know,
people are people. And I think that you can learn about God through different cultures. And one of the things I noticed is that there's certain things that I love about, you know, like the white community, if you want to call it the community, but the more white communities have a different way of connecting, and mm-hmm. Black communities have a different way. And I'm a very extroverted person. And when I go generally to, you know, black churches, not all of them, but most of them, they're much more uninhibited.
Mm.
They're more celebratory. You walk in, it's like, what's going on? Da, 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 da. And everybody's talking. And it's just, they're just more, they're ready to get down and have fun. And they're living life and they're open. And I love that.
Mm-hmm.
It's not pretentious is what I'm saying.
I see.
And sometimes you can go to white communities and there's really cool people and X, Y, and Z. But sometimes there's this stuffiness.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like that.
No, huh?
But I mean, it's not one culture has it over the other culture. I mean, they're just different.
Yeah.
So, but it's cool. I you're going to come next Sunday. You ready?
I am, huh?
Yeah. I'll bring you.
Yeah. That's going to take a lot to bring me there.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a forklift? Well, like I need a hitman.
Yeah.
Take you to church. Yeah. But ain't nobody leaving this place till they sing the blues.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, do you go to synagogue, though, or do you do anything?
No, I don't.
No.
I really don't.
Would you say that's boring, or do you like it?
That's boring, too, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see, unless I can imagine if it's people that you like hanging out with, it's a different story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you have some friends there and things like that, you know?
Yeah.
But just to go there for the sake of the prayer and stuff, I don't know. I get bored from that stuff, you know?
I can understand
that.
I don't know. I can understand it.
Can you?
Yeah. I mean, there's some churches that are just, like, dull.
Yeah.
I don't know what the deal is. It feels religious.
Yeah.
It feels like, oh, I have to do this. Versus sometimes you go and you're fully engaged and you're loving it or you're really getting a lot out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's, you know, I don't know. It's very it's very individualistic. And,
yeah.
But this is a really cool church. It's not like. And the church I was going to downtown, it's called Mosaic.
Mm-hmm.
Really great church. They actually meet at a salsa club. The pastor's name is Erwin McManus. He's actually a speaker and an author. And his stuff, he's really a visionary, and a lot of it's really about just being fully awake and alive to the people around you, the surroundings, and really finding your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a very universal message. I mean, we believe in Jesus, and we believe in the Bible, but at the same time, you can kind of bring anybody in there that doesn't really have the same beliefs or background, and either it'll open them up to that, a different way of believing, or it will add to what they believe.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of cool. It's just a different kind of ministry.
Yeah.
Which is I think really awesome.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
You know what I'm excited about? We're going to have a best-selling author who's actually got a number one book.
Oh, really?
On Wednesday. The book is called The Passage, and it's sort of like an epic story. I started reading this and it sounds fascinating. I mean, I'm just excited to be talking to him because this guy came out of nowhere and he's writing some vampire books now, and this is about scary vampires, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I'm not really into vampires and stuff, but and it gets to be sort of like it starts off as an ordinary story, you know, and realistic story, and then it turns into fantasy and things like that. So I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it's been number one on the bestseller list. So
it's called The Passage?
The Passage by Justin Cronin. And he's going to have a book signing at The Grove like in about a week or
so. Are you going to go?
We'll promote that too. Maybe I will after we interview him. Yeah.
Might
be pretty cool. Yeah.
That's cool.
Wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah.
Although there might be a lot of people there, but I don't care. You know,
walk
sometimes
in, be like, yo, I'm on LA Talk Radio.
Yeah, and you talked to me the other day and blah,
yeah,
blah, blah.
I did
blah,
that.
Blah, blah. Yeah.
I showed up to Roxana's book signing of who you took off your fan page or your friends.
That empty Semite.
Bummer, man.
Yeah.
What a bummer. It's a bummer.
All right. Another thing is that TJ McCormick, who has the show with us here,
TJ's
7 to
World.
9, did his last show from this studio today.
Okay.
And he's moving to New York. So for all TJ fans, I'm sure you already know that he's going to take like a couple weeks off just to get settled in and
okay,
stuff, you know. So, but he's doing like a road trip, you know, driving up there to New York, which sounds exciting. I wouldn't mind doing a drive like that, you
know?
That's
cool.
Yeah.
Now, he's staying with LA Talk Radio, right?
Yeah, he is staying. He's going to do a show remotely from New York.
Perfect.
And it's going to be awesome, yeah. So, we're not saying completely goodbye to him, but I still am going to miss him.
I know, you guys are buds, huh?
Yeah, yeah. He was over the other night.
Oh, did you guys have fun?
Yeah.
What'd y'all do?
We ate some watermelon and things like that and talked and shared some experiences. So
yeah.
It was a lot of fun, yeah.
I think it's fun watching guys hang out and bond.
Really?
Yeah, like hearing you guys talk and stuff. It's guys do it differently than girls.
Yeah.
There's kind of like,
that's,
you know,
true.
It's
we
always
talk
like
about
a,
different things.
Well, it's,
you know,
different, but it's also kind of like it's the same need, which is bonding and in connection,
yeah,
but it's done differently. Like guys,
it is. You bond just looking at pretty chicks, you know, that walk by and stuff.
Well, guys, you know, do activities together versus,
yeah,
where women can rumerate. They can really talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk. But I hear the way guys go back and forth. It's always like Yeah, you kidding me? Da, 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 da. I don't know. Everything's a little more aggressive.
That really makes sense.
It doesn't, but it's just a little more aggressive. It's more about like challenging each other's masculinity or something. It's subtly. It's kind of
not necessarily that.
Not really.
I mean, I know usually when I sit with a guy and stuff, we talk just like women do, you know. But our eyes are roving, and you know, I mean, we take a break every time a pretty woman walks by. But that's it, you know. It's harmless.
You take a break. Hold on. And pause.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, what were you saying? Yeah. I guess
you... Yeah, something like that.
Kicking
yeah.
in. It's still kicking.
But it's accepted, you know. I mean, usually when you have a conversation, someone is focused somewhere else. It's rude, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But this is part of the conversation.
Is if a girl walks by?
Yeah.
Is it that fun? I mean, I love people watching, too. Is it that fun for a guy to, like...
Oh, yeah. It's
I was
a lot
at
of fun.
The coffee bean.
I don't know why that is, though. You know, I mean,
yeah.
A pretty woman walks by and guys just look, you know.
It's almost like they're a little bit hypnotized for a second, huh?
Maybe, something like that.
Because I was watching this morning, there was a few gentlemen, one guy in particular, that was sitting across from me. And as women were walking in to get their coffee, I mean, all different shapes and sizes and whatever. And I was watching them just, didn't matter what they were doing, they did exactly what you said.
Mm-hmm.
They would stop and look up and just watch. And then, I mean, I think women are very beautiful too, so I watch women too. I watch all people, but... I was kind of trying to put myself in the eyes of a man to see what he sees when he sees a woman. Because these guys stop and it's almost like they're mesmerized a bit.
Yeah.
And I think it's that, and all different body types too. And I think it's that women are beautiful. They're life givers. Their bodies represent life, I think. And they're softer and there's just a beauty that they have.
Yeah.
And that I think that men...
But for guys, they represent a lot of sex. That's what it is.
Yeah, but right. I mean, the sex is the action, but I think the motivation behind the sex is mm-hmm. it's kind of there's desire. What's the desire come from? It comes
right,
from
right.
This person is, you know, this person has a life. There's excitement there. There's, you know, there's life. And I think that women walk in and they have more life. They exude more life.
Mm.
Generally. Than men, you know. Men are like Jeeps walking in, point A, point B kind of people. Okay, what I got to do? I got to put this, okay, blah, blah, blah. And I think women walk in, they're like, do, 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 flower in my hair.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny to see them walk sometimes when you're at Starbucks and you sit outside and they walk like through a gauntlet, you know. I mean, everybody's just checking them out and the women know that and they just kind of like, you know, pose.
Well, I think it's kind of an uncomfortable attention sometimes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
I always make a joke out of it and play it off, but it is uncomfortable. I'm like, damn.
You know, I mean, if I sit somewhere and I catch a woman's eye looking at me, I get nervous.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I won't look back, which is funny, you know, because that's what women do all the time. But it's kind of uncomfortable to lock eyes with someone, you know. But you don't know.
I just looked at Sam like, hello.
Well,
hello.
I know you.
Yeah, I noticed that this one dude was trying to get my attention yesterday. Well, he was on his phone, but he's looking at me through a window. He was a good-looking dude, but I'm just not interested. And he kept kind of looking and trying to smile, and I would kind of look away. And it's just kind of an interesting game
mm-hmm.
that you play with, I guess. Yeah, and I just think... I don't know. The whole LA thing is weird, meeting guys too randomly. It's fun, but it's just weird. I kind of look at this as a very dysfunctional society too, as far as sexually and dating
yeah.
wise. It's not.
You're very cynical about some things.
I know? Don't think it's cynical because I love life and I love meeting people. But I have had, you know, I do meet a lot of people, Sam. So
mm-hmm.
I have met a lot of people that seem cool, and then you get to know them, and there's just weird shit going on.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, it doesn't mean I wouldn't ever date anybody, but it just kind of makes you, it does make you kind of go, wait a minute, this isn't like every guy looking at you just really wants to chat and possibly get your number. It's like they want to freaking devour you.
Yeah.
It's a weird feeling. You're like, I don't feel like, and it's work as a woman to diffuse it.
Yeah.
It takes work to kind of slow down a guy. It's like, I don't have it in me.
No,
sometimes,
huh?
You know.
Yeah. You're right.
You're right.
You know, I mean, there's something to it, I think.
Yeah, and it's not even because they want to devour you because you're special. They want to devour every woman.
Yes.
They want to consume, like vampires, they need to feed. They want to just devour
exactly.
women, and you just
them.
Happen to be a woman. So
yeah.
it's not special at all.
Yeah, I guess when it happens
I
too
just
much.
I just happen to be in the line of fire.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how it feels. So it's
yeah.
it is kind of discouraging. But
it's funny because I'm sure a woman would be flattered if a hot guy looked at her and made a move, but not when an ugly guy would.
Yeah, but even hot guys, I kind of...
Although it's the same kind of attention, you know?
Well, yeah, I think with hot guys, I mean, this guy that was checking me out yesterday was super cute, but he was a really good-looking dude, but it was... I don't know, this is obviously just a feeling I had. I was like, this guy probably knows he's really good-looking. He probably goes through women like water, and this is probably just a current distraction for him. Mm-hmm. And that's the... I don't know, it just seemed like he was a little too good at trying to catch my eye.
But, you know, just because a guy is good-looking doesn't mean he goes
absolutely
through a lot of women.
Absolutely. I don't know that. Yeah. I really don't know that. But I'm just saying, when somebody's a little too suave and they're a little too good at the game, you're like, oh, yeah, this is... You do this for a living. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're kind of like, not interested. You kind of want to meet somebody that it feels really authentic and they're not trying to attract you with all their flashy teeth and hair. You kind of want to feel like they're trying to connect with you on a human level first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I guess. I don't know. I think you need a sex story or two. That's what you need.
No, I don't. I'm happy. I think you just want to make...
It doesn't mean you have to be unhappy.
Yeah, but you're always trying to act like I'm some deprived, depressed woman with cats.
I'm not trying to say that at all. That's not what I'm saying. I just can't see you going through life without sex, you know?
I don't plan on it, Sam. That's not my plan. Let's get this thing straight.
But that's what you're doing. I'm just
trying to do it the way I believe. I mean, and sometimes that means you say no to things temporarily because you want a longer gratification.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean...
But if you meet the right guy,
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we're all sexual, and I don't plan on doing the nun thing forever. Yeah. Okay, God, hook it up. But no, I mean, I reconnected with my ex who's in Texas, and even though we're not moving towards any kind of relationship, there's something about being reminded of true, true love. I know that sounds like a fairy tale, but really being reminded of that kind of experience and that love, it kind of recalibrates you to kind of go, oh, okay, this is what it feels like, and this is what I want.
So did you guys make love? I mean, did you end up in bed? No, huh?
No.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm not going to talk about
that. I salute him, yeah. You're not going to talk to me about that. I want to know.
I know you do. I come on here and share everything.
Well, I need to know that kind of stuff.
No,
you
don't. We made out a little bit.
We made out a little bit. Okay. Good.
But it's different because we've like been, you know, we were together for a long time. So it's different.
I suppose. I don't know.
No? Yeah. But no. No, he's a really, really good person and a good guy.
Yeah, I'm sure. But that has nothing to do with it.
Has nothing to do with what? Has a lot to do with everything.
With love and sex.
You know? Oh, what's love got to do? What's it got to do with it? Oh, it's got everything to do with it. Take it away, Sam. Oh, what love? No.
No.
You don't like Tina?
No.
You don't like Tina?
Oh, I love Tina Turner, of course.
Oh, man,
I just don't like you singing it like it doesn't sound good.
It's playful. You got to kind of put your sense of humor hat on for a second and go
with
it.
You do, huh?
Yeah, I'm not really trying to American Idol you up. I'm just trying to go, hey, this is a relevant song. It's cute. It's funny. Let's go with it.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
We got a phone call. Let's see who that is. Good morning. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Bam, this is Mario.
Oh, Mario. How you doing, Mario?
I'm home now, and the voice chip is in.
So you're able to talk, man.
It's going to take about 3 months to get the voice back.
Yeah.
I have to give it to you and TJ because the first time I was on his show, he brought it out in me to talk where they thought I would never talk again.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Last week, they found blood in my throat. I did die. They zapped me back. They said if I didn't have the voice chip put in, I wouldn't be here today.
Wow. So where do they put the chip, the voice chip? Where does it go?
Right by the Adam's apple.
Wow. They implant it in there?
Yep. It's in there for life.
Wow.
Way to go, Mario. Congratulations.
Yeah. Mario goes through a lot of hard times, and I salute him because he's one of the strongest men I know.
Yeah, he's a trooper.
I mean, for surviving all this.
And he's got a good heart.
Yeah, you definitely do, Mario. And I'm so glad you called and to be able to hear you actually talk, man. That's amazing.
And when TJ emailed me and telling me to come on the show and everything, I was hemming and hawing. Did I really want him to do it and this and that? So I owe that man a lot.
Yeah, you really do, you know. But the courage, all the courage and the persistence is yours, man, and you got to take the credit for it, you know.
And what he's doing today is starting a new life. That's how I look at things.
Wonderful, man. And I'm so proud of you, man, because you are amazing. I mean, your life story, maybe we'll go over your life story sometime when you're able to talk even more confidently and stuff. Does it require a lot of effort for you to do, to talk?
Not really. Before it did, because I was on, right now, Sam, I'm on my own voice. I'm not on the voice on, voice off.
Right.
I shut that down. And that's why they said in about 3 months or so, I'll have my normal voice.
Wow. That's amazing, Mario. Well, we're with you, man. And, you know, we're like family to you, like you said many times. And we love you, man. You know, I mean, again, you're a very courageous man. And I salute you, man. I really do.
Thanks, Mario.
And remember one thing. We don't always have to be in a church. We are a church.
There you go. Amen.
There you go. Yeah. Mario, you keep the faith, man.
What we believe in.
There you go. I totally agree.
Keep the faith, man. Mario, thank you so much for calling, man. And we'll be in touch, huh?
You got it.
Okay.
Keep it on. Voice on.
Okay. Take care.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
He's so sweet.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, that's an effort, I think, for him to be talking now. And,
He's a very encouraging dude. He sends me emails sometimes. He's very encouraging.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he like pukes blood sometimes and things like that. You know, it's just terrible to live like that, you know, like tubes down your throat and that, you know. But, man, he's got some life story. I hope he writes a book one day because he's lost some loved ones and that. And I don't know how he's kept going through, you know, going in and out of hospitals all the time.
He's a cool man.
Yeah. I would have given up a long time ago. That's why I think he's very courageous, you know, to keep wanting to live. And that's the amazing thing about human beings. You know, we have that instinct to want to stay alive, you know, no matter what.
Mm.
And it's a, you know, it's something that keeps us alive.
Yeah, you got a good heart, Sam. You're so sweet.
I do?
Yeah, because you
How
really...
How do you figure that?
Because you really love him, and you're really encouraging him, and I think that's... I think when people release praise, when they actually see something good or valuable, and they actually release it and they share it with the person,
right,
it blesses them. It like lifts them up and it affirms them and helps them to keep going on and makes them feel loved. And so I think it takes a strong man. It takes a real strong man to do that.
Yeah. And I guess, you know, but we are social animals, you know, and
we're made to be relational. So I agree. But I mean, a lot of people they don't share it, or they are afraid, or they're too self-involved. And I think it's really great, especially as a man, that you're affirming another man. Because a lot of men sometimes are afraid to say, hey, man, love you, keep it up, you're doing great. Yeah. It should be simple.
Yeah.
But it's
it's cool, you know, and that's why I love TJ. Because, I mean, when every time we see each other, we hug and kiss, you know.
I know, I think
which
it's
great.
Which
is very unusual, you know, for...
Yeah. But isn't it healthy? Don't you feel like it's nourishing?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I like, because I grew up with that kind of...
You're European. It's different.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so to see someone from here who's behaving in the same way and can be, like, because it's an intimate act, you know, to hug someone and kiss them on the cheek even, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it speaks a lot for your masculinity when it doesn't bother you to do that.
Yeah,
you
know, and it should be kind of normative, but it's not. And I think, you know, hats off to you for just... And I noticed the way you handle guests that come in. It doesn't matter who they are. Afterwards, you're very kind, you know, giving them a hug and stuff. I just think that's sweet. I think, and not just sweet, I think it's good. It's healthy, and I think it blesses people.
Yeah, I think when someone is a guest, you got to make them feel special.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you really do.
Yeah.
Even if you don't agree with them and all that
Absolutely.
Kind of stuff. But the bottom line is, you know, you can disagree on certain opinions, but you've got to have
You always want to respect the person.
Know?
That's the thing, too, is that, you know, I always say my opinions, I'm so opinionated that my opinions have opinions. But at the end of the day, that doesn't taint the way that I see a person. You know what I mean? Because people are people. So regardless if I don't agree with anything that they stand for, I still value them as a human because we're in the same thing together, really. We all want love, happiness, things like that.
Absolutely, yeah.
So I think that's really positive. I actually was listening to a great radio show and they had a guest on, and I don't remember the guy's name, but he wrote a book. But he was back in, I think it was, I can't remember which war it was, but basically they had a plane go down, mm-hmm. And there was somehow oil involved, and all these guys that were Marines were stranded in the water for 4 days.
Really?
And one of the guys got oil all in his eyes and kept trying to wipe it off, and the salt water kept scratching against his eyes, and his eyes wow. became these two big sores, and he was holding on. He was holding on to dear life with another Marine, and they had life jackets on. And the one guy said, "I just want to go kill myself." He's like, "How are you going to do it?" He's like, "I'm going to go underwater, and then I'm going to release." He had a plan where he was going to kill himself, and his friend was like, "I'm not letting you die, and we're not dying. We're not going to die." And this guy, you know, talks about being stranded in the water, and they didn't have any food, and I mean, one by one, sharks were around, and he said, many times you see a dorsal fin coming right at him and go right psh, underneath him and grab a friend.
Wow, that's
and the next
scary.
Thing you know, this guy next to him's down,
yeah.
getting eaten by a shark. Yeah. Anyway, it was really interesting to hear them talk about not having food, not having water, and getting to the end of their rope, and finally they got to land. Well, they didn't get to land. They got rescue choppers found them. But, you know, kind of holding out and having that kind of hope that defies your whole existence because everything wants to give up.
Yeah, these are great stories, you know. No. Anyway, we got to wrap up, you know, and the time just seems to fly when you do 1 hour.
So we're doing really a 50-minute show.
Yeah. Well, that's what it is. That's what it is, but now you get to go out and have more coffee and do your thing. Everybody, thank you all for joining us. We're going to have a great show tomorrow, so stay with us, and we'll be back here tomorrow.
You have been listening to Sam and Kara in the Morning, which airs every weekday from 9 a.m. until 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, originating from the Los Angeles Talk Radio studios. If you have questions about the show or would like to inquire about sponsorship opportunities, please direct all correspondence to info@latalkradio.com. Sam and Kara in the Morning is a production of LA Talk Radio. We say what we want.